You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we worship you because of who you are, Lord. We don't need anything more than what you are because you, Lord, are everything. Everything that we need, everything we want. And Father, we come to you humbly, Lord, just holding up our hands and asking you, Lord, to take our sin from our lives and fill us with a hope that is new. And so, Lord, tonight we ask for a special blessing upon this room. Lord, as we're going to talk about some dark things, we know this. We are those who walk in the light, and darkness is dispelled wherever there is light. And so, Father, be here with us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Be seated. Okay, well, a couple of things. Obviously, tonight we're going to look at Halloween, the truth, trick or treat. That's what we're going to try and figure out here tonight. And let me begin by reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I've got to confess, as I was doing this, I did kind of take it and turn it down a couple of notches. And here's why. Number one, I realize I don't want to spend over amount of time focusing on the enemy and who he is and how wicked he is and what he does. I never want to do that. I never want to give an overemphasis on the enemy. Because the enemy does want to put fear in our hearts. That's his goal, is to put fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. In fact, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So we're going to go through this. And the second reason, besides the fact, yeah, if you need a Bible, you can... But we're going to kind of be on the Bible bus. We're going to jump around quite a bit. But the second reason why I turned it down a couple of notches, because I was hearing that some of the kids would be joining us, and it seems like all the kids are here. And that's I think that's wonderful. Because as my kids, I told them at the soonest possible time, I told them the truth about all the different holidays so that they would know. And so I think it's wonderful. So I did water it down, and for two reasons. One, I didn't want to spend an overly amount of time emphasizing the wickedness of the enemy. And secondly, because I knew kids were going to be here, I did. But it's still kind of, okay, you'll see. But before we get started, I figured we would be a little lighthearted. Visuals, we have Master 1, number 1 picture supposed to be up. Not the number one pick. Thank you. And in a moment, you'll do the next number one pick. Yeah, the next one. Okay, here's a quote. I figured I'd give a couple of lighthearted quotes before we got started. Here's a quote. On Halloween, parents send their children out looking like me. Next picture. Rodney Dangerfield. He said that. I think that's hilarious. Next picture, here's what Conan O'Brien says. This Halloween, the most popular mask is Arnold Schwarzenegger mask. The best part? With a mouthful of candy, you sound just like him. Put that cookie down. Give me candy. I don't do a good Arnold. There you go. Okay, back to the main picture. Master number one, please. There you go. All right. So what's wrong with Halloween? And most believe that it's just another harmless childhood indulgent. In fact, some even make fun of Christians who take a strong stance against this day called Halloween. In fact, I found an article by Crosswalk And in this article, they talk about seven different types of Christians that you will... Now, crosswalk.com, that's a Christian organization, right? They talk about seven different types of Christians you will run into during Halloween. They talk about the trunk or treater, and that's basically kind of our church where, you know, we don't do trunk or treat, but we do our harvest fest. They talk about the Hell House Raiser, and that's the churches that actually do their own version of a haunted house, and they say, hey, if the world wants to be scared, then we'll scare the hell out of them. I've been to those. I've seen it done. I understand the premise. I'm not sure that's the best way to go about it, but hey. Then they talked about the Reformation Day Redeemer, and those are the ones that just simply will have nothing at all to do with the holiday. And then they talked about the devil mocker. That's the Christian who says, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to get in the devil's face. I'm going to participate in all of it. And I will just mock the devil. Dangerous. I'll just tell you that. Brothers and sisters, you do not want to mock the devil. Even Michael, the archangel, said when in dealing with Satan, he said, hey, you know what? The Lord rebuke you. Michael didn't go, hey, I'll take you down. He didn't run around like a butterfly and float, sting like a bee. He didn't do that. He said, you know what? The Lord rebuke you. Why? Because the devil is a powerful foe. Not for God. For God, he ain't nothing. But for you and I, he's more than we can handle outside of walking in the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. So there's the devil mocker. And then he talked about this article on crosswalk.com, talked about the door locker. And that's the ones who basically just lock their doors and pretend like nothing's going on in the outside world. But the one that bugged me, and this is a Christian article. I'm going to read the one that bugged me. They said this in the article. Halloween. It's hard to imagine another holiday which invokes such fervent reaction in Christians, given its dark reputation. October 31st has earned a special kind of notoriety among believers. Opinions on the holiday are so widespread and intense that in recent years, many Christians have found themselves at a spiritual crossroad. Should I dress up and trick-or-treat like everyone else? Should I search out Bible-friendly alternatives instead? Or should they just ignore Halloween altogether? And so after saying that, he says this, there is another type of Christian called the witch hunter. And listen to this. This is a Christian talking about another Christian. For the witch hunter, Halloween is a night of spiritual warfare. They see October 31st as a celebration of all things pagan. At a time when witchcraft is at its peak, naturally, they intend to break these demonic forces through the power of prayer and intercession. The witch hunter will typically spend Halloween night leading small groups or hosting a miracle service at their church. No actual witches will be hunted during this event. Now, first of all, do you see the problem there? Listen, I think it's wonderful if someone decides to say, you know what? Halloween is utterly pagan. I want to stay at home. I'm going to rather have a Bible study and spend time praying against the dark forces that are out there. To mock them and call them a witch hunter, I think that is so wrong. In fact, I would call that person super spiritual. You're going to spend the night in prayer overall. Listen, I don't know about you. I remember as a kid that there were times when horrible people would do horrible things to candy. You know, putting rat poison in candy, putting razor blades in candy and needles in candy for unsuspected children to be tore up by these things. And so for to have some people go and pray on this night that for protection, I think is wonderful. I don't call that witch hunter. I call that someone very, very spiritual. So now let's talk about Halloween. But see, there are so many different stances on the view of Halloween. I prayerfully tonight, I'm going to give you a accurate historical view of Halloween and what it's all about, and then give you the spiritual connotations of Halloween, and then finally, why we do Harvest Fest on Halloween. So, it's just a holiday. That's what many people say. Halloween is just a holiday. Stop right there. It's not a holiday. Why? Because there's nothing holy about the day. Holiday comes from, is derived from a holy day, meaning something that God has placed as holy. Not as the world. The world will call all kinds of days holidays. But truly for a holiday to be holy, it's something that God has set apart. Now, Halloween, as we know it, is one of the fastest growing retail entertainment industry. Now recognized as the second largest commercial holiday in the United States. According to the National Retail Federation, 157 million Americans will celebrate Halloween, and it will add up to $8 billion, with a B, dollars of revenue. This isn't all for children, folks. Adults are spending more on costumes and entertainment than ever before. In fact, 81% of Halloween costumes are for ages 18 to 34. 81%. So it's not a child's day of candy. It's more of a young adult day of activity. I'm going to stop with activity. Many theme parks have offered now a Halloween-themed park, like Universal, Six Flags, Knott's Berry Farm. They go to great lengths to also warn that their park event is too scary for children under 13. In fact, recently, they've upped it to 16. Because every year, the premise is to be more frightening and more realistic than the last year. So Christians, what are we to do? Remember, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, right? And a sound mind. Woo, sound mind will do what? Make decisions. Now, the enemy wants to put what in our heart? Fear. Now, some will choose to shun this season and pretend that it's not there. Others will throw caution to the wind and chalk it up as just good, clean fun, while still others struggle to find the balance. There are even some Christians that think that when we take a stance against, or when someone takes a stance against Halloween, that it's silly. In fact, I've met some, or there are out there, some self-professing Christians who say they don't believe in the spiritual realm, they don't believe in Satan and the devil, yet they call themselves Christians. I like what C.S. Lewis says in the preface of Screwtape Letters. If you've never read the Screwtape Letters, it's kind of a difficult read at first, but once you get the rhythm of it, you realize that it's one demon talking to another demon about how to trip up Christians. It's a wonderful read, and it gives you some deep insights into our weaknesses and what they try to use as weapons against us. But in C.S. Lewis's preface on the Screwtape Letters, he says this: there are two equal opposite errors in which our race can fall about the devil. Our race, the race we run. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive, unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both error and hail the materialist and the magician with the same delight. See, demons love it when you say, I don't believe in you, and I don't think there's anything to your power. And they also rave and love it when you get all involved in their power and want to be about their power. And I can tell you from personal experience, more than I want to even experience ever again, that the demonic realm is real. Now, while devils and his minions, while the devil himself and his minions are center stage during this season, remember that Satan is active all year long. And 1 John chapter 4, and 1 John chapter 4, which, by the way, if you don't know this, the book of 1 John is a litmus test. Do you ever want to figure out, am I truly a believer? Go to 1 John, read it. Read the five chapters. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Now here we go. Listen to this. How do you know the Spirit of God? By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already, and is now already in the world. So, Halloween, let's test the spirit. Its origin. You've probably heard of this, All Hallows Eve, right? It's actually the evening before All Saints Day. All Saints Day was originally in the month of May. But in the 9th century, the Roman Catholic Church moved it from May, All Saints Day, to November 1st. And that made All Hallows Eve October 31st. Now, why did the Roman Catholic Church do this? Because many people in the Catholic Church were celebrating Samhain, and we're going to talk about Samhain here in a minute. And so in order to accommodate their people, to keep them from feeling ostracized, the Roman Catholic Church moved to All Saints Day, which, by the way, All Saints was a day that you were to remember, not talk to, but you were to remember all those who were martyred for the cause of Christ. It's kind of like, you know, Veterans Day for the Christian. You know, specifically for the Christians, the ones who paved the way for our faith, who laid down their lives for our freedom to enjoy the Word of God. So that was kind of like the Memorial Day for Christians on All Saints Day. But it was in May. So the Roman Catholic Church moved it to November 1st. That made All Saints, All Hallows Eve was October 31st. And that was because a lot of people were practicing in the Catholic Church Samhain. Now, if you take All Hallows Eve and collaborate it with Samhain, you come up with Halloween. That's how it, now you're asking, what is Samhain? Well, I'm glad you asked. It was a European Celtic pagan druids that celebrated Samhain. Samhain is a festival of the final harvest, and that sounds great. By the way, if you don't know this, druids, and we're going to look at a video here shortly, druids worship Mother Earth. It's called Gaia worship, pantheism. Pantheism believes in the earth and worshiping of nature. So Samhain was the final harvest. It was also a celebration of the dead. It was also a celebration of the onset of winter, and it began with October 31st. Now, the druids, these witches and warlocks, they believed that on Samhain, that the veil between the spirit realm and the human realm was so thin, if not torn, that the spirits were able, of the dead, were able to walk among the living on Halloween. Now, many would engage in occultic practices in a fervent level. Of course, they did occultic practices all year round. But on Samhain, because the spirit realm was the closest in all year, the whole year, October 31st was the high holy day of druids, of witches, of the occult, of Satanists. Many would practice their divination on Samhain, on Halloween, on the 31st of October. Divination is to call upon the power of demons in their life. They felt that they could get more power from the demons on Halloween because the veil was so thin. And they would often communicate with the dead. Now, these pagans on Samhain, they believed that these spirits were bound to earth on Samhain unless they received a proper send-off of treats and gifts. Now, if a spirit didn't receive a send-off of a proper gift, then that spirit would become enraged and would begin to trick the household. In other words, fearful hauntings. The hauntings would increase in severity if that spirit had been mistreated in its life, in its natural life before it passed away. If it had been mistreated, it would be even more enraged. So, in other words, if you had a family member that you had unforgiveness with and they passed away, and on Halloween you didn't appease them, there would be an ungodly level of demonic activity in your home. Now, in order to trick these spirits, the people would put on grotesque masks and outfits. Why? Because if the spirit didn't know it was you, then it wouldn't bother you. So people on Halloween would then wear these deformed, gruesome masks in order to ward off the demons, these dead. So the tradition of wearing costumes in order to trick the spirits was begun. And they would do this, folks, and this is going to get... They would carve grotesque faces into rooted vegetables. You know, we do the pumpkin, right? But they actually did more of a turnip at that time. That was a much more popular vegetable. And when they carve in the faces, then they put a candle inside of it to light it, because the flickering of the candle would give the face movement as if it were alive. Also to ward off the evil spirits. Can you put up picture number three? That is a turnip that has been carved out to be a jack-o'-lantern, one of the original, that's what they would look like, to ward off the evil spirits. Now, rooted, okay, thank you. They can take that off for now. I've seen enough. But why a rooted vegetable, right? Well, because what do they worship? Mother Earth. So a vegetable from the earth for this spirit that once walked the earth, and that was their way of appeasing the spirit or warding it off. It goes deeper. The Druid priests on Samhain was also a festival of fire. The Druid priests would lead the people in animal and human sacrifice. That's where, by the way, we get the term bonfire. You ever heard that, Tom? It's actually bone fire. Why? Because the fire, can you put up the next picture? The fire was actually one where the Druid priests would sacrifice both animal and human. Now the question, can you guess who they were worshiping on Samhain with their bonfire? Anybody? Baal, the biblical demon called Baal that you can see in the Old Testament. They were sacrificed. Now, if you know about Baal is a god in two forms. It would be a man form where they'd have the arms out like this, and it was made of brass. They'd heat up his chest till his arms were white hot, and then they'd place the child on the arms. Later, it also became known as Molech, an owl god, and they would burn before a giant owl. They would burn their children in the bonfire or bone fire. Now, for the families, if you were a family and you were willing to offer, if the Druid priest came to your house and asked for your child and you gave them your child to be thrown into the bone fire, they would then carve out one of those jack-o'-lanterns and put it on your doorstep to let the demons know that you have appeased, that you have followed through, that one of your children were now thrown to make them happy, and they would leave you alone. Picture five, please. Now, let me ask you this. You think, well, gosh, that was so long ago. Yes, it was. Do you ever wonder? It's reported that 700,097 children were reported missing in one 1-year period. Of the 797,700, almost a million children, or more than 3/4 of a million children, of those, 200,000 were children who were abducted by other family members. The other 590,000 were just abducted, most of which never seen again. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 13. This is nothing new, folks. This is nothing new under the sun. Way back then in Deuteronomy, here's what God says. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsaying, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. There's a video I would highly recommend you watch by Chuck Smith. It's called Pagan Invasion, The Truth About Halloween. And he has an interview there with a young man who was a part of the Wiccan ritual. He and another little girl that he calls Becky. I think it was her name, Betty or Becky. I can't remember. They were used in many satanic rituals. He was being raised up to be a priest, and she was being raised up to be a human sacrifice. And he talks about the things that they did to them, and it's horrific. I don't want to play it because it just curdles my stomach. It's horrific. But this young man was able to be freed by Christ. The little girl, we don't know. But I want you to watch this video on Wicca, on witches. And by the way, everything you're going to see right now, it's a short 3-minute video, I think. Everything you're going to see, no one's actors. This is all real. So watch.
The Druid Orders are full of people from all walks of life, from soap opera stars to doctors and lawyers, dentists and toilet cleaners. Anybody can be a Druid.
The work of the Druids consists in reuniting us with the world of nature externally and internally with that stream of ancient wisdom and knowledge.
Sharing the Druidic tradition of nature worship is witchcraft. The title witch is from the Saxon word wicca, meaning the one who practices sorcery. The Oxford Dictionary states that a Wiccan is one who is twisted, bent, or warped. Despite attempts from modern Wiccans to sanitize the original intention of witchcraft, its practice cannot be divorced from demonology.
O guardians of the Watchtower of the East, I, Ishtar, High Priestess and Witch, do summon and stir thee. I command thy presence at this our meeting to guard over our circle and to witness our rites. So may it be.
My mother was a witch, and my grandmother was a witch, and I have been a witch for as long as I can remember. Since I have been practicing the craft, there has been a great revival.
It's almost as if there's a kind of grassroots feeling back towards paganism. We live in a kind of post-Christian era almost, and that people are moving towards a kind of neo-paganism, I suppose.
It's, in many ways, to bring you back to nature, to bring oneself back to nature, and to learn how we fit in with the natural scheme of the universe and the natural scheme of the earth, and understanding what we need to do to heal the planet.
We have a number of initiatives which include planting groves of sacred trees, and a campaign for individual ecological responsibility, which is concerned with showing how each of us can become ecologically responsible.
But I think the time is coming now where we have to take the responsibility by the throat and actually get out there and say, there are answers here. I'm not prepared as a pagan, as a priest, and as a practicing witch to sit back and see my planet, my mother, raped any longer.
Oh, answer unto me.
I can't really say when I became interested in Wicca, but it's always been part of me, part of my roots. I love her, we. I think I'm a very autumn person. We dress up the house with cobwebs and so on, and we cast a circle, and we have a smoky cauldron, and we all scry, which means do clairvoyance, into the smoke which comes out of the cauldron. And we open the gates of the underworld, and if any spirits want to come forward and speak, we listen to them.
My first initiation, when I became first degree, was on Halloween. And I felt very, very much in tune with the God.
Okay. You ever notice how there's an obsession right now? As evil as the world is, there's an obsession with Mother Earth, climate change, saving the planet. Listen, God is in control, and one day there will be a new heaven and new earth. I'm not saying that we should throw our trash. We should be good human beings, we should be good stewards of what we have, but whatever's happening in the earth is all planned by God. But the Satan wants to try and get the focus on earth, Mother Earth. But I got a side note before we move on. Do you realize, as you watch that, first of all, a couple of things. Notice those people look normal. You could have passed them in the store and not know that any of those people, those ladies or that those gentlemen, any of them were witches or warlocks. You would have never guessed it. They look like your next door neighbor. But it's a real religion. Witchcraft, notice she says, I love Halloween. The other girl, she was initiated when? On Halloween. It's their high holy day. But now, if witchcraft is a religion, here's my question, here's a side note. Why can schools have Halloween parties with witches and symbols? It's a religion. Witches on brooms, that's what they do. They run around on the broom. And by the way, that is a sexual thing. Witches are a symbol of a religion, yet our same schools where our kids go, you cannot have a Christian symbol party at all, even though that is good. And it reminds me of what Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, that's what they're doing, these Wiccans, these druids. And by the way, there are some here. I've ran into some. I could tell you where, but it's not important. I don't want you to be going, ooh, look. I pray for them. I'm nice to them. I don't, you know, they at first they're mean to me until they realize I'm not mean. Unless I have to be. No. But it's everywhere, folks. It's real. This stuff is real. It's not fake. And see, even symbols, something as seemingly innocent as bobbing for apples, it's used in a pagan ritual by the druids to ask the spiritual realm to enhance and bless intimate romance between a couple. And it doesn't take much thought to understand the implication of the activity. Not much at all. Listen, Satan will use all sorts of things to see that seem seemingly innocent to draw people away from God. Now, Halloween is a high holy day. Listen, Satan can use any day he wants to, and he does. He's the God of this world, and he uses every day. Listen, it's not just on Halloween that gory movies and these demonic movies, they're pumping them out all year round. But the truth is, everyone is open to the Halloween sucker punch. Why? Well, because everything seems fun. It's candy, it's kids, bobbing for apples. It's all these demonic rituals. The pumpkin, Now you know that the jack-o'-lantern is a symbol that someone sacrificed their child, and therefore now the demons are appeased, and they know that's a symbol that that's a house that gave a child for Baal in the bonfire or bonfire. But if you were to ask a Wicca, an occultist, a Satanist, what is your highest holy day? And they would say Samhain or Halloween. Anton LaVey, you know who he is? He's best known as the founder of the Church of Satan back in 1966 in San Francisco. He wrote the Satanic Bible. You can show picture 7. That's Anton LaVey. The Satanic Bible has one commandment: do what thou wilt. In other words, do whatever you want to do. That's what Satan wants you to indulge. In the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey writes, two main satanic holidays after one's own birthday. Did you hear that? You know what Satanists believe one of the highest holy days is? Your birthday. Why? Because it's purely a focus on self. 100%. But the other two, Walpurgis Night and Halloween. See, the guy who wrote the Satanic Bible says Halloween is one of the high holy days. Now, the other Walpurgis Night is a night where witches were meeting on Broken Mountain. That was what they believed, that all the witches, it was the night of the witch, that they would converge. But the highest of all the holy days outside of one that indulges self would be Halloween. Now the three, you can take that picture off. I've had enough of him. Thank you. Three satanic rules. Fundamental individualism. Central is the idea that an individual must enforce their own meaning on life and raise above the perceived conformity of the masses. In other words, don't conform with the masses. Just do what you want to do and do it to the most. Number two, self-transformation. Satanism is presented as an opportunity to self-identify with one's own concept of God. One's own concept of God. Notice in Satanism, by the way, they never say they worship Satan. Ask any Satanist. You worship Satan? No. What do you worship? I worship myself. Number three, Satanism and sexuality. Sex is viewed as an indulgence, but one that should only be freely entered into with consent. So in other words, any kind of sex you want, just as long as there's consent. Oh, how nice. It sounds nice, right? Consent. But consent to what? No holds bar. What about the guidelines that the God of all creation, not this wannabe God, Satan, what about the guidelines of what he wants to do? What he said that marriage was all about? It is to be the Lord of one's own self. And by the way, that sounds pleasing to most people. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about it. I don't want to conform to God. I want to do things my own way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says this: and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So we have Halloween. Twofold. It's the highest holy day, and we see the real witchcraft. The real witchcraft. Notice there were no, you know, bloody fang. Oops, excuse me. There were no bloody fangs and crazy horns and people, you know, ripping each other and eating. There was none of the stuff you see in Hollywood. There was none of the stuff that you see disguised. Yet it's the high holy day, because behind the scenes, they're bobbing for apples. They're riding their brooms. They're doing incantations. They're seeking the dead. But for us, the sucker punch, We put on the scary mask. We don't, but people put on the scary mask and the monsters, and the more creepy and scary, the more evil, better. But yet, when Satan really comes out before you, he looks like somebody's grandma. He looks like a car salesman. He looks like a sitcom actor. Because he parades himself as an angel of light, and we get sucked in. Because then we see Halloween, and we see this event, and it's like it's candy, and the kids are having fun, and that's great. And the whole time, Satan is going, yep, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Now, we each have a decision to make. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says this: have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I pray today, tonight, this evening, what I am doing is exposing the works of darkness. So, with all this information, there should be, and by the way, I had to keep this short, that I could actually do a three-part series, because there's, you know, there's a bunch of symbolism. What does a broom mean? What does a cat mean? What are all these things mean? The cauldron, and on, but I think you get the idea, I pray. But with this information, the little bit that I gave you, the question should arise, why do we do a harvest fest? If we're not to have any fellowship with darkness, some churches would say that Harvest Bible Church, they're giving in. Well, I disagree. So let me show you from Scripture why I disagree. Remember Paul, or maybe you don't, turn to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Now, was there religion to seek God? No, it was not. They had a pantheon of gods. "For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God." So it was an idol for pagan worship. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." So he takes one of their idols, something they worship, something that the Bible says you shall not have any engraved image. It explicitly says you're not to have any engraved image. But Paul takes it and he says, okay, there's an engraved image that they don't have a name for. I'm going to pretend for their sake and meet them on their level and say, that God I want to tell you about. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." How cool is that? See, Paul goes, you know what? I'm going to take what you were using for pagan worship, and I'm going to use it to point you to God. Now, see, if Paul were alive today and he was doing that, some churches would say, how could Paul? The Bible strictly says, do not have any graven images. And he takes in a graven image and he talks about Jehovah God. That's blasphemy. No, it wasn't. Because right away he says, hey, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He points out the truth. He says over in 1 Corinthians 8, I'm just going to paraphrase. He says, hey, if someone is offering offerings to idols, he says, if someone brings you a piece of meat before that, he says, if love puffs up, love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows something, he doesn't know anything. And he says, if someone offers you meat or something to eat that was offered to an idol, go ahead and eat it. He gives that understanding first. Of course, he also goes on to say you don't want to stumble your brother. The problem is there are less mature Christians that we would be stumbling all day long if we walked on eggshells, and we have to keep moving. See, we are to be in the world, not of the world. The world right now is enamored with darkness. Would you agree? Yeah. They love it. They eat it up. It's all over the place. Now, here's the cool part, folks. Just like Paul using that unknown idol to point people to Jesus and then say, you know what? Jesus doesn't like those idols. You did it. You just didn't know. Well, right now, with the world being enamored of darkness, we can use this fascination with darkness to turn the conversation from darkness to light. What better opportunity to turn the conversation around and to ask questions like, hey, you, what do you fear most? That's a pretty scary costume you have on. Is there anything you fear? Do you fear death? And in a time like this, questions like that would seem rather normal, wouldn't they? A time of fear. And there is great fear in the world. And so why do we do Harvest? Not to be like the world, but to say, you know what? We can take this night and we can have it covered in prayer. We're praying every night. We prayed tonight. We're praying every night this week that God would move in the lives of the people who are coming here, the ones who are deceived, the ones who have the veil pulled over their eyes, just like I was once. We want to use this opportunity. It's interesting. My wife said the candy's the bait. Hey, it is. It is. Jesus said, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What do you use when you fish?
Bait.
That's been my life, folks. I did Shredfest and we played loud music, metal, headbanging, and rappers and all this stuff. And people, some of the parents would sit out there. We have 500 kids who wouldn't step into a church out there skating and listening to Christian rock and rap. Couldn't understand most of the words in the rock stuff, but the rap was pretty clear. But that rap is like screaming, but the kids who were playing the music loved the Lord. And parents would sit in their cars on the parking lot, and they go, I go, hey, how you doing? Because I went around and met everyone. Hey, how you doing? Oh, we're doing fine. What are your kids out there? No. I was like, you're just enjoying. Why were you playing this loud music? You sound just like the world. I said, but we're not. Hundreds, I'm not kidding, hundreds of kids got saved because we were using the right bait. I don't care. I don't care about what they were doing before they got saved. They were living ungodly. All kinds of nipple rings and black fingernails and 10-foot purple mohawks and cigarette hanging out of their mouth, and then go 6 months later, they're in church. Couldn't see Pastor Mohawk, but they're in church. And they had a shirt on, thank God. Folks, Halloween is the highest holy day. It's a holy day to the demonic realm. We shouldn't take it lightly. We should be careful on how we allow our kids to participate, if you allow your kid to participate at all. Look, you can participate in our Harvest Fest. It's totally 100% focused on the Lord. No jack-o'-lanterns, no spiders, no monsters, no witches, none of that stuff. We say, hey, give candy, no Halloween, because it's about Jesus. Every single booth has something to do with Jesus. They're going to hear the gospel 4 or 5 times before they leave the premises. And every child will have an opportunity, and parent will have an opportunity to accept Christ. We're saying, here's this unknown God. There's this pagan God, but we're going to take this event and we're going to make it about Jesus Christ, that he would receive glory on Tuesday. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And at this moment, I would like to say this verse to all the demons out there and Satan himself. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. You see, what Satan meant for evil, we're going to turn around and make it for good. But as far as our children go, and our own hearts, the fact of the matter is, Halloween as itself, Samhain, is about as evil as it can get. And when we participate in it, in its raw form, we put our stamp of approval on what the enemy wants to infiltrate our families, our children, and our homes. Now, I'm never going to be legalistic, folks, because we can go right on down the line to Christmas and Easter and see all the pagan stuff, but at least the focus is 100% focused on God of the Bible, where this is not focused on God of the Bible at all. Doesn't proclaim Jesus Christ as coming and living. It simply is evil to the core. And so we must, brothers and sisters, I leave it up to you. And by the way, once again, I've only scratched the surface. It goes so much more deeper, but as I'm looking at time, I realize, and then of course some of the things are just a little bit too grotesque for a mixed crowd like this. So praying, I realize this is what I'm going to cover. So I hope you have something to pray about, something to ponder, and something to really, really examine your heart to see where you are when it comes to the things of the Lord. And let me suggest one other thing. That you be in prayer for what we are doing with Harvest Fest. Last year we saw kids and families make decisions for Christ. And I pray this year we see even more. For the glory of God against all the evil that is out there. There are no rat poison in any of our candy or razor blades or needles. And people of the world can come here and know their children are safe. We don't look down our noses at them, but we lift them up in prayer. So let me encourage you, pray not only for what we're doing, but for those who are lost who really need to know how they are being duped by the enemy. Will you agree to do that with me, folks? Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word and for the truth. And Lord, for the reality that you've made very clear to us that there is a menacing enemy out there who wants to destroy families, who has a target on our children and on the youth of this nation and this world. Father, may we not give him a foothold, but Lord, may we take back by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice of the Lamb, by the truth of your word, and by much, much prayer. And so, Father, would you please speak to each one of our hearts individually as to what we are going to accept and what we are not. It's free choice for each one of us, but Lord, may we choose wisely. And so, Father, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we ask this in the incredible, the beautiful, the amazing, the only true, loving name in all of creation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Messiah. God, you are so beautiful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.